Dear Pastor Colin, my name is Peter. I am a Boy Scout. I liked your sermon on meekness, especially the 10 ways to be meek. Could you please send me 10 ways to do all the other Beatitudes as well? My apologies to Peter, I'm way short this week. There's only 5. 5 strategies for cultivating a godly appetite.
Well, welcome again to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, these had better be a good 5 for Peter's sake.
Peter's a demanding guy, yeah. And I think he's terrific. I loved his letter, I tell you. 10 That's ways great. To do every beatitude. Yeah. Well, I hope 5's a start.
5 is good. 5 is good. So as we began to learn last time, we're actually cultivating a godly appetite here, what it means to pursue righteousness.
Yeah, and the principle we're working with is that diet shapes appetite over time. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're the ones who are going to be satisfied. So I want to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And it's that appetite that we want to be able to cultivate.
Well, we're going to dig down into that today. If you can, open your Bible, join us in Matthew chapter 5 as we continue the message, Cultivating a Godly Appetite. Here's Pastor Colin.
5 strategies for cultivating a godly appetite. Here's number 1, and you won't be surprised by it. Gain momentum from the first 3 Beatitudes. That's the first. Gain momentum from the first 3 Beatitudes. Now, by this stage in the series, those of you who've been following along will say, I thought it might be that, because we keep coming back to this point that the Beatitudes cannot be treated in isolation. They are progressive. Each of the Beatitudes assumes all of the ones that went before. And that is why we have pictured them as being like rings. And the way in which you move from one ring to the other, like the monkey swing, is the momentum you gain from swinging on the first is what enables you to reach the second. The momentum from swinging on the second is what enables you to reach the third, and so forth and so on. Gain momentum from the first 3 Beatitudes. That's number 1. Here's number 2. Practice fasting from legitimate pleasures. Practice fasting from legitimate pleasures. Remember, Jesus spoke about whoever would come after me, he said, must deny himself. There are multiple applications of that, and this is one of them. Now, again, we're just thinking by way of analogy from the world of food. One way to spoil your appetite is to snack between meals. If you snack on chips throughout the afternoon, guess what? Your appetite will not be sharp when it comes to your dinner in the evening. So the principle here is a very simple one. Every mother has taught this to their children, even if it's not always been obeyed. Restrict what spoils your appetite. Don't snack between meals. We understand that principle very, very clearly. Now, the point here is not that there is something wicked or sinful about eating chips in the afternoon. There is not. Doritos, after all, are a good gift from God, are they not? This is surely an amen moment. But here's the point. We all know this, that eating in at the wrong time and in the wrong amount will spoil your appetite. That's the key, in the wrong time and the wrong amount. Now, let's apply this obvious principle about appetite and how it gets spoiled from the world of the body into the world of the soul. And let's put it this way, legitimate pleasures, at the wrong time and in the wrong amount will spoil your appetite for holiness. So what can I do about that? The question that's before us is, how can I keep the legitimate pleasures of my life, which have a place, like sports and travel and hobbies and so forth and so on? How do I keep these things in their proper place? And one answer that I'm suggesting to you today from this analogy is by a periodic fasting from legitimate pleasures. Now think about what fasting is in the realm of the body. What is fasting all about? It is a way of cleansing the body and of heightening self-control. It is therefore a very special and often underutilized gift from God that can be used in the spiritual realm to help you master some things that otherwise may gain mastery over you. So very simply, suppose you come to the conclusion as you think about your life and you say, I want to live a better life. I think I can be more for Jesus Christ than this. And suppose you look at your life and say, where is all the time going? What is actually my life? And suppose you come to the conclusion that you are spending too much time watching TV or playing computer games. Your diet has been creating an appetite, and you have a kind of a default as to what you do as soon as time is open and so forth. And now you see that this pattern that has become established within your life is actually holding you back from being everything that you could be for Jesus Christ. What could you do? Take a month without television. Have a fast from it. For a month. Not because it's a wicked and a sinful thing, it's a legitimate pleasure, but you don't want it controlling you. A fast from computer games. A fast from golf for a month. Or 6 months without buying new clothes. Or without leisure travel in order that that time that would have gone in this direction might go in another. Drop a sport for a semester. You will be surprised at the freedom that you begin to experience. You'll say, as my friend said, this is not so bad. Fasting is a great way to subdue appetites that otherwise may master you. Now, of course, some Christians have this organized, and I think that's a good thing. They do it once a year. They give something up for... good. But why wait for Lent? That's my question. Why wait for Lent? I want to be cultivating my spiritual appetite throughout the year, and if I see that something is gaining control over me, I want to be able to address it proactively. Train yourself for godliness, Paul says to Timothy. So to live a better life, we have to take control over the things that otherwise would hold us back. So identify the legitimate pleasures of your life and deny to yourself something for some time. Do that in order to gain control. Do that so that appetites will not in themselves be controlling over you. Learn to wean yourself off things that otherwise will shape and determine the course of your life. And you will find great freedom. You'll find great joy. So practice fasting from legitimate pleasures in order to cultivate this great appetite for righteousness, for God, to hunger and thirst after Him. Now here's the third one, and it goes immediately along with the second, and it's simply this. Make yourself vulnerable to the needs of others. Make yourself vulnerable to the needs of others. And again, we're thinking here from the analogy of the body that we all understand very well. How do you work up a good appetite? Get some good exercise. Go for a brisk walk. Go for a run. And guess what? By the time you have extended yourself in that exercise, you find that your readiness for a good meal has increased. You have worked up an appetite. Now, again today, this is true in regards to the nourishing of the soul. Extend yourself in serving others, especially people whose needs are very great, and you will find that your own hunger and thirst for righteousness is wonderfully increased. The exercise of serving will increase your spiritual appetite. Now think about this in relation to our Lord Jesus. How did Christ fulfill the fourth beatitude? After all, He is the righteous one. All righteousness resides within Him. So how in the world could Jesus then hunger and thirst after what He already had? And the answer to that lies in the incarnation. He leaves the comforts of heaven. He comes into this world where righteousness has been lost. where what he has is desperately needed. And he humbles himself and he becomes a servant and he sees that people are like sheep without a shepherd. His heart is moved with compassion. And you see the principle. You make yourself vulnerable to the needs of others. And your own hunger and thirst for righteousness will increase. You will begin to say more and more, O God, thy kingdom come. Serving will stimulate your spiritual appetite.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Cultivating a Godly Appetite. It is from a larger series called Momentum, where we're taking a look at how to grow in the Christian life. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always come to our website and listen online. The website address is unlockingthebible.org. While you're there, you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Another way to listen on the go is if you have the Unlocking the Bible app. It really makes it convenient to listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. In addition to being able to listen to the broadcast, you'll also find a daily Bible reading plan there on the app. And you can listen if you podcast the program. You're going to find all the links you need to do all of that at unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Here's number four. Use your blessings and your troubles as incentives to feed on Jesus Christ. Use your blessings and troubles as incentives to feed on Jesus Christ. Of course, I'm thinking in using that phrase, feed on Jesus Christ, how Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And you remember how he said this in John chapter 6, this is the bread that came down from heaven. He's referring to himself, of course, and he says, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Christ is the one who nourishes our soul to everlasting life, and faith not only believes in him, another way in which the Bible puts this wonderful reality is that faith feeds on him. He nourishes, strengthens your soul because he is in your life, and in your life, he nourishes you. Now, again, here on this point, I'm indebted to our friend Thomas Watson, the pithy Puritan, from whom I have learned so much and enjoyed quoting at a number of points in this series. Watson asked the question, how can we stimulate a spiritual appetite? And he gives two answers. The first I'd already thought of, and the second took me by surprise. Two answers. Number one, exercise. Well, anyone would think of that, I think, to stimulate an appetite. But the second answer was the one that caught me by surprise. Quote, there are two things that stimulate appetite. Number one, exercise. Number two, sauce. You heard me right. I'm looking at this in his book. Sauce. And then I began to think, well, you know, I suppose in 17th century England, the food was probably pretty bland. I know some of you are saying in 20th century England, the food is pretty bland. But here's Thomas Watson, and he says, now I sit down at a meal, and what makes it more appetizing to me? Sauce. He's right. This is a sweet Baby Ray moment, folks. The sauce is the boss. And you know what that is. You know, the meal comes out, and immediately you're looking to put something on it, and that increases the attractiveness of the meal to you. Now, you can have some fun with this in the life groups as you talk about it this week. But let me just put it this way. God increases our hunger and thirst for righteousness by giving to us the sweet sauce of his blessings, the sharp sauce of troubles, and sometimes the hot sauce of persecution. And you can come up with a lot of other varieties as well. But what I'm saying to you is simply this. It is good for us to cultivate the habit that whatever is going on in your life, whatever God has put on your plate, use it as a means of increasing, cultivating your own hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God himself. So when you are blessed, make it the habit of your mind to say, oh God, you are so good. And as I contemplate your goodness, I just want more of you. That's the right response to the blessing of God, which is sweet sauce. When there are troubles, how are you to respond to troubles? Oh Lord, here I find myself in this great trial. And perhaps you'll call to mind what Peter says. Sometimes you'll go through fiery trials, and these come and they test your faith, which is more valuable than gold, and prove that it is genuine. Oh God, in this trial, I need you more than ever. Oh God, help me to walk with you, and please walk with me in this trial. Let this trouble bring you to Christ. Whether it be sweet sauce, whether it be sharp sauce, whether it be hot sauce. Let whatever God puts on your plate be the thing that you use to cultivate a greater nearness to him and a more active pursuit after him. And that takes me to the last thing, and it's simply this. Trust Christ especially for your sanctification. Trust Christ especially for your sanctification. And for folks who don't know that word, think of it this way: for you to live a better Christian life, for you to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the point, and it's an important one. I've spoken to many folks over the years who believe that they can trust Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And they also believe that they can trust Christ for their eventual entrance into heaven. But when it comes to the whole question of overcoming habits that ruin their lives, when it comes to the whole business of changing what we like to call, well, that's my fragility or my Achilles heel or that's just how I am, they find it very, very difficult to believe that Jesus Christ can do anything in relation to changing them now. In other words, here's how they think. They trust Christ for their justification and they trust Christ for their glorification. But they do not trust Christ for their sanctification, and they live in this kind of world of hopelessness. Well, at least I'm forgiven, and at least one day I'll be different, but I'm never going to be very different now. Now, here's my challenge to you. Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins. Not simply the guilt of their sins, not simply the consequence of their sins, but from their sins. He came to deliver you from all that holds you back from living a better and more Christ-like life. And this Savior that you say you can trust to completely change you into his image one day, this is the Savior who has triumphed over sin and over death and over hell. He's at the right hand of the Father. He sends his Spirit. He is righteousness and redemption and sanctification for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Now, if you can trust him for forgiveness in heaven, why can't you trust him to help you change and to cultivate a greater hunger and thirst for righteousness? And this is so important, folks, because hope is the key to all change. As long as the enemy of your soul has you believing that change is somehow beyond you this side of heaven, you will not attempt it. You will not train yourself in godliness, because somewhere deep within your soul you say, anything I try is going to end in failure. And at that point you are not trusting Christ in relation to your sanctification. You are not looking to him. As long as you're telling myself, well, this is just how I am and I will never be different. Listen, change never happens without hope, but where hope comes, change is possible. Let's end today by shining this light of hope into the hearts of discouraged believers. When you see Christ, you will be like him. And every true Christian believes this. You've trusted Christ for this. You will be completely like Jesus Christ. Think of what your patience, your wisdom, your compassion, your kindness, your righteousness, your strength will be then. And here's my question and my invitation. If you can trust Christ to complete his redeeming work in you, then why can you not trust Christ to move it forward in your life now? If you can trust him to make you completely like Jesus Christ on the last day, why can't you trust him to make you more like Jesus Christ now? So I invite you to trust Christ for your sanctification as you trust him for your justification and for your glorification. It's one Redeemer, and to be a Christian is to trust him. To trust him. So five strategies to cultivate a spiritual appetite. Gain momentum from the first three Beatitudes. Can't just start here in isolation. It comes in the flow of the Christian life. Practice fasting from legitimate pleasures. Make yourself vulnerable to the needs of others. Use your blessings and your troubles, the sauce, as incentives to feed on Jesus Christ. And trust Christ, especially for your sanctification, because hope in Jesus Christ is the beginning of all change. When we see him, we will be like him. And what comes out of that knowledge? Those who know this purify themselves, even as Christ is pure.
What a challenging message, but also an encouraging one here in Unlocking the Bible. You know, if you trust Christ to complete his redeeming work in you, then why would you not trust him to move it forward in you now? I don't know about you, but that was really a challenging question for me today. And maybe that's a question that's kind of challenged you. You'd like to go back and listen to this message again. Get those five strategies for cultivating a godly appetite. Well, stay tuned. I'll let you know how you can get a copy of this message or the larger series that it comes from in just a moment. The series is called Momentum. It's all about how we make progress in the Christian life. We've been diving into Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, and in this chapter, Jesus is more than just describing what a blessed life is. He's actually giving us a way to pursue that life. So if you'd like to get a copy of today's message or the larger series Momentum, ask about getting a copy on CD when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you two copies of a book from Pastor Colin. It's called 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible. Colin, it's one for someone to read, another to give away.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve. You know, one of the things that I pray really often is that those who receive the Word of God through Unlocking the Bible and receive it gladly, that you'll become someone who will bring the Word of God into the life of someone else. And if you think about those you're concerned for right now, you must know someone who's not yet a Christian, and you long for them to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what can you do? Well, you could give them a Bible. That would be a wonderful thing to do. But would they read it? Where would they begin? What I'd love to do is to send you a copy of 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible that you could have for yourself and one that you could give to someone who doesn't yet know the Lord. And here's what that little book would do. It would take them through the Bible story. It would show that the whole Bible is one story and that it all points to Jesus Christ. And it would put in place the basic building blocks on which faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is founded. It would be a marvelous thing if this month, all who receive the Word of God gladly through Unlocking the Bible would take a copy of 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible and give it to someone in your life who needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord use this. I think that this could be a marvelous way in which we could reach out with the gospel, and it's something in which every one of us can be involved.
Absolutely. We would love to send you two copies of this book, 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible, as you support this ministry with a gift of any amount this month. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, the website is unlockingthebible.org and the phone number is 1-866-865-6253. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. There are four things you most need to know about God as a believer. Find out what they are on the next Unlocking the Bible.